Welcome back. This is an advanced Ableton Live 12 sampling lesson for drum and bass, jungle and rollers. Today we're doing something that feels like cheating once you get it down, taking tiny one-shot samples and stretching them into huge, evolving pads that actually behave in a DNB mix, not slow it down and drown it in reverb. We're building pads that hold their pitch and vibe when stretched, move in time with the groove, and stay out of the way of your kick, snare, and sub. By the end, you'll have a pad engine you can automate like an instrument, liquid shimmer when you want it, dark tech fog when you need it, and it won't smear your brakes. Let's start with the mindset. In drum and bass, a pad is rarely the star. It's the atmosphere that makes the drop feel heavier, the intro feel deeper, and the breakdown feel emotional. But if you let the pad leak low end or low mids, your mix gets instantly cloudy. So we're going to be disciplined, but still creative. Step 0. Pick the right one shot. This matters more than people think. If your one shot has clear pitch, like a Rhodes hit, a string stab, a choir ah, a dub chord, a vocal tone that's pitch certain, with those, your goal is tone integrity, smooth stretching, careful looping, and gentle modulation so it still sounds like a musical note. If your one shot is more ambiguous, like Foley, a metallic impact, machine noise, a random vinyl stab that's more texture than note that's pitch uncertain, with those, treat it like spectral texture. You'll lean harder on texture warping, more filtering, more resampling, less obsession about exact tuning. Either way, try to choose something that already feels close to your track's key center. If you're writing in F minor, grabbing something that naturally sits near F or has an obvious tonal center will save you time and keep the pad from fighting the bass. Now, set up layer A, the body. This is the harmonic bed. Create a MIDI track and load sampler. You can do this in Sampler, but Sampler is the grown-up version for this workflow. Better envelopes, deeper modulation, and more control when the pad needs to behave. Drag your one shot into Sampler. Then go into the sample view and enable warp. For warp mode, start with Complex Pro if your source is harmonic or vocal. Complex Pro tends to preserve musical identity better when you stretch long. Keep formance at 0 at first, then later you can nudge it plus or minus 20 for character. Set the envelope somewhere around 110 to 160, so it smooths out the grains without turning to mush. Now stretch it. Your goal is a pad phrase, not a long sample, so think in bars. Aim for 4 bars first. You can stretch by adjusting the sample's end or the segment timing so it plays longer. At 174 BPM, 4 bars is already a proper atmosphere bed. Next, we need sustain. Pads can't just be a stretch tail that dies off, unless you're doing a very specific cinematic thing. For most DNB contexts, you want controllable sustain. Option A is looping inside sampler. Turn on loop, then find a region inside the one shot that has stable tone. If you loop a noisy transient region, it'll sound like a helicopter. Look for the body portion where it settles. Now the important part, crossfade. Start around 20 milliseconds and increase until the clicks disappear. Don't be scared to go longer, like 80 milliseconds, if it makes the loop feel invisible. Option B is pure stretch, no loop. Sometimes a dense orchestral hit or a vocal chunk will already smear into a sustained texture when stretched. That can sound amazing. Just watch out for the frozen wallpaper problem, where it holds too static. We'll fix movement later, but you want a good bass. Now shape the amp envelope. Go to Sampler's volume envelope. For attack, think smooth entry, 80 to 300 milliseconds. If your pad is for a breakdown, you can go longer. If it's under drums, keep it on the shorter end so it doesn't feel late. Decay can be 2 to 6 seconds. Sustain, pull it down slightly, like minus 3 to minus 10 dB, so the pad breathes instead of just pinning at full volume. Release, 2 to 8 seconds depending on where it sits. Under a drop, be careful. Long releases stack up and fog your drum transients. Now tune it. This is one of those steps advanced producers never skip. Put a tuner after sampler. Play a reference note, like C3, and see what the pad wants to be. Then use transpose in sampler to bring it into the key center of your track. If it's atonal, don't force it too hard. Tune for vibe, then later you'll high pass it and treat it as texture. Okay, now the masterclass part. Movement. If you do nothing else today, do this part properly. First movement type. Filter motion. Add auto filter after sampler. Set it to a low pass, 24 dB slope for that classic control DNB pad behavior. If you want gentler, go 12 dB. Set cutoff somewhere between 300 and 2500 Hz depending on how bright you want it. Add a little resonance, maybe 0.2 to 0.45, and a bit of drive, like 2 to 6 dB. To give it weight, turn on the LFO, set it to sync, and choose something slow. 1 bar, 2 bars, or half a bar depending on how animated you want it. Amount should be subtle. You're not making a wobble bass, you're making a breathing pad. And here's a real DNB transition trick. Automate the LFO rate from 2 bars down to half a bar as you approach a fill or a pre-drop. It creates tension without adding new instruments. Second movement type, subtle pitch drift. Inside sampler, assign an LFO to pitch. Rate, very slow, like 0.07 to 0.25 Hz. Free running. Amount, tiny, 2 to 8 cents. This is the difference between sample stretched and alive. Especially for jungle and liquid, that micro instability feels like tape. Like hardware, like a record. Third movement type, shimmer and width, but controlled. Add chorus ensemble after the filter. Set it to ensemble mode. Amount around 15 to 35%. Rate around 0.1 to 0.35 Hz. Width up if you want, like 120 to 200%. But keep the mix modest. 15 to 35%. You want it to widen the pad, not turn it into phase soup. Now we build layer B, the air or texture layer. This is what makes the pad feel expensive and wide without getting loud. Duplicate the track or build an instrument rack with two chains. On layer B, set warp mode to texture. Now you're intentionally smearing time into texture. Try grain size around 20 to 60 milliseconds and flux around 20 to 40 to add movement. Then process layer B like a specialist. EQ8 first. High pass it hard, somewhere between 300 and 800 Hz. This layer is not allowed to compete with your bass. And ideally it won't even compete with the snare body. If you need air, a gentle shelf boost around 8 to 12 kHz can help, but be careful, stretched samples can have nasty whistles up there. Add saturator with soft clip-on. Drive 2 to 6 dB, and match output so you're not tricking yourself with loudness. Then add hybrid reverb. Go for a hall, or a subtle shimmerish character, but stay tasteful. Decay 3 to 8 seconds, pre-delay 15 to 35 milliseconds, low cut 300 to 700 Hz, high cut 8 to 12 kHz depending on harshness, and keep the mix around 10 to 25%. The goal of layer B is fog and motion, not biggest reverb in the world. Now group your layers into an instrument rack. Name the chains body and air. This is where the workflow becomes pro, because now you can perform and automate the pad like a single device. Map macros. Here's a strong set. Macro 1. Brightness. Map it to the auto filter cutoff on both body and air, with sensible ranges so you don't accidentally open it into harshness. Macro 2. Motion. Map it to the auto filter LFO amount, maybe also a little chorus mix. Keep it subtle, you want a safe macro you can automate across the whole arrangement. Macro 3. Space. Map it to hybrid reverb mix or decay. I recommend mapping to mix for quick changes, and keeping decay in a tighter range so it doesn't explode. Macro 4. Grit. Map to saturator drive, possibly more on layer B than layer A. Macro 5. Width. Put a utility at the end of the rack and map width. Make yourself a safe zone. For most DNB, 80 to 130% covers a lot of ground. If you go wider, you'd better be checking mono. Macro 6. Duck. This is huge. Map a macro to the sidechain compressor threshold, so you can carve space as your drums and bass get denser. Before we sidechain, let's do mix discipline with EQ. On the rack output, at EQ8, high pass the entire pad somewhere around 120 to 250 Hz. Under drops, don't be afraid to go higher, like 250 to 400, especially if the bass is a wide res and you want the pad to stay more central and high. Now manage the low mid bloom. In DNB, the real fight is often 180 to 450 Hz. That's where bass harmonics live, snare body lives, and room tone builds up. Here's a sneaky trick. Add a bell around 300 Hz with a Q around 1.0 to 1.4 and map its gain to a macro or automation. When drums enter, automate that bell down 1 to 3 dB. It's like dynamic EQ behavior, but you're doing it with intent. Also consider a small dip around 2 to 4 kHz if the pad competes with your snare crack. 1 to 2 dB is usually enough. Now sidechain ducking. Add compressor after EQ. Enable sidechain and feed it from your kick and snare bus, or a ghost trigger if you're really precise. Set ratio 2 to 1 up to 4 to 1. Attack is key. For pads under breaks, start fast, like 1 to 5 milliseconds, so it gets out of the way immediately. Release should be timed to the groove, not guessed. At 174 BPM, try 80 to 200 milliseconds, and adjust until the pad returns just before the next kick or snare hit. You're aiming for space carved, not EDM breathing. Gain reduction. 2 to 6 dB as a starting point. Now, mono compatibility check. This is not optional if you're widening anything. At the end of the rack, keep the utility. If your version has bass mono, turn it on. Even though we high-passed, it's extra insurance. Then periodically hit mono on your master or use a utility to check. If the pad collapses or gets hollow, reduce chorus width or mix, and consider narrowing layer B above 8kHz. Sometimes the air layer is what causes the phase weirdness. Now we write MIDI. Pads in D and B are not chord soup. Think long-held chords over 4 or 8 bars. Two-note intervals work great. Root and fifth, or root and seventh. Suspended chords, sus2 and sus4, are your friend because they avoid clashing with bass notes that often imply their own third. If you're in F minor, try the sib, bars 1 to 2. An F minor flavor, but sometimes drop the third so it's just F and C. Bars 3 to 4, a DB major 7 kind of color. DB, F, AB, C. Spread the voicing. Keep the root lower, extensions higher. And keep velocity fairly consistent. We want movement from modulation and filters, not random velocity unless you're doing expressive ambient intros. Now arrangement. Here's an easy story arc that works constantly in DNB. Bars 1 to 4. Air only. Narrow width. Low brightness. It's like the room tone of your track. Bars 5 to 8. Introduce the body, but keep ducking stronger than normal so drums still feel upfront when they arrive. Bars 9 to 16. Open brightness slowly. Add a touch more motion, widen a little, and reduce ducking slightly if the groove can handle it. It feels like the track is unfolding. For breakdowns, increase bass, but here's the upgrade move. Instead of only increasing decay, increase pre-delay. More pre-delay makes it feel larger without washing out the definition of the pad's attack. And the classic tension trick. Right before the drop, cut the reverb. Ideally, put the reverb on a return and send to it, so you can either let the tail continue while muting a pad, or kill the return instantly for maximum impact. One bar before the drop. Do a vacuum. Narrow width towards 0 to 50%. Reduce reverb, send sharply, and deepen ducking slightly. Then when the drop hits and everything snaps back open, it feels massive. The Sino version is shortened for playback.